The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
There's really no good way to open up a show like this. And normally I would come to you and say, this is the Hoop Ball Clippers podcast, which it is. And I would have a bunch of energy and excitement and looking very much forward to talking about the Clippers and what has gone on in the last couple of weeks, last couple of games, what's going to go on in the future. It's tough to do this podcast today. Was actually supposed to record this one yesterday. Coming at you now. We're taping on a Monday afternoon. Was going to tape last night with Justin Russo. We'll talk to him shortly. But I decided that last night it wasn't right to tape a podcast about the Clippers. It wasn't right to tape a podcast in general. It felt like the time to just take a second and for people to grieve the way they want to grieve, for people to read what they want to read, and just take in and watch whatever they needed to watch. A sad day. The loss of Kobe Bryant. Someone that Lakers fans and Clippers fans all got to see up close and personal for many, many years. If you've been listening to this podcast since the start, you know that I actually grew up a Lakers fan. And I'm currently in my early 30s. And I was a Lakers fan all the way up until about 2002, 2003 when I started to switch over to the Clippers. And so I was there during the back-to-back-to-back titles with Kobe and Shaq. I was there as Chick Hearn got a chance to broadcast Kobe and Shaq. And that's why I got into broadcasting, was because of Chick Hearn and the energy that he had. And he had a ton of energy because he was able to call such great players in Kobe and Shaq. And for a legend like Kobe Bryant to depart us at the age of 41 is just devastating. Say what you want about him and how some people didn't like him. We all respected him because he was incredible at his craft. He was an unbelievable basketball player. He was someone that Clippers fans were really hoping would join the team when Kobe Bryant was asking to be traded from the Los Angeles Lakers. And then Dr. Buss stepped in and did not allow it. But I was hoping he would get traded to the Clippers. I really wanted him to be a Clipper because he destroyed the Clippers whenever he played them. He was just an incredible basketball player. And I'm going to share a memory with you of Kobe before we actually get to today's guest. I was an intern for CBS KCAL here in Los Angeles. KCAL aired a bunch of the Laker games back in the day before they got their own network. And I got a chance to hold the mic during a post-game scrum. I got a chance to go to Staples and then hold the mic in the locker room. Kobe's locker room was pretty much right next to where the bathroom was. So it was where people were coming in and out. And it was in the back of the locker room. And everyone was huddled around. Kobe had just gotten out of the shower. He was just getting dressed. He was ready to go and talk to the media. And nobody was talking to him. Nobody was asking that first question for what seemed like 5 minutes, but was probably more like 3 or 4 seconds. And I decided to step in and I said, Kobe, you guys have had your struggles up in Portland. How are you going to be able to change that on this trip? And what was the reason why you guys have struggled in Portland? And he answered a long question. I mean, long answer. Respected me, despite the fact that I was as young as I was. I was in college at the time. And that's who Kobe Bryant was. He respected people. He knew the game of basketball. And he wanted to share the game of basketball with everyone. And his daughter, Gigi, was supposed to be that next great player. She wanted to be in the WNBA. She was supposed to go to UConn. She wanted to go to UConn. He coached her. And just all the video clips you see of the two of them and the pictures of the two of them, how close they were, and just such a fluke accident, such a foggy day in the San Fernando Valley. And it's devastating no matter what, but just to think about how close they were to reaching their destination, Calabasas is only about 5 to 10 miles away from where they wanted to be. So they'd already been in the air for about 40 minutes. And then for something to happen like that, it's just awful. It's terrible. Kobe Bryant was the definition of the Lakers. There's no doubt about that. But Kobe Bryant was LA. There's a reason why we all feel devastated today and why we were all devastated yesterday. It's not like somebody that, sure, he's not a family member directly to us, but we grew up watching Kobe. We were there through his highs and through his lows. We saw him as a rookie when he was traded from Charlotte to the Lakers for Vlade. We saw him during his 81-point game. I sat on the couch and watched his final game against Utah and saw him go for that 60-burger. It was just unbelievable to watch, and I still have the Snapchat on my phone saying, "Thank you, Kobe." And it was him walking off the floor and saying goodbye to some teammates. We didn't expect to say goodbye like this. That's not how we should be saying goodbye to him. He's not going to be there when he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame. That's devastating. You never want to see that. He doesn't deserve to go this early. What a Hall of Fame speech he would have had. He would have had such an amazing Hall of Fame speech. And we're not going to get to see it. We're not going to get to hear it. Kobe's family, I can't even imagine what they're going through. It's absolutely devastating. And tomorrow's going to be one of the stranger games that we're going to witness. There's no doubt about that. When the Lakers and the Clippers are on the floor and we don't know exactly how they're going to honor Kobe yet, at least as of this podcast being recorded, it's going to be tough for players like LeBron James to go out there and play with how close he was to Kobe Bryant. We're going to talk to Justin Russo and get his take on tomorrow and what he thinks it's going to be like. This podcast, of course, is brought to you by our title sponsor, Hawaiian Isles Kona Coffee Company. Check out their website, HawaiianIsles.com, on Amazon by searching for Hawaiian Isles Kona Coffee, or on Twitter at High Kona Coffee. All right, let's talk to our guest. Let's remember Kobe Bryant and look forward to tomorrow's Lakers-Clippers game with Justin Russo. This guy is someone that you want to follow on Twitter. He has the Clippers beat as well as you can possibly have. His game threads are tremendous. It's Justin Russo. You can follow him on Twitter. It's Fly By Night. Is that what it is, Justin? Fly By Night, K-N-I-T-E?
Yep, that okay, would be cool. Correct.
So there you go. You can follow him on Twitter. Get his game threads. Also, tons of stuff he tweets out about the Clippers in general. Justin, welcome to the Hoopball Clippers podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Before we get into Kobe and the Clippers and the Lakers, want to first find out about you and how you got into what you're doing, because you do a lot of the stuff on Twitter that we see, the Clippers videos, Clippers coverage in general on your Patreon. How'd you get into all of this?
So, a very long time ago, basically, I've always been a big sports guy, but I've always been enamored with the Photoshop era. And I had done Photoshops back before, like even before the last 5 years. I'm talking like 15 years ago, I was really into like Photoshop, stuff like that. I was enamored with like making videos of things, highlight videos, stuff like that. And I've always been a Clipper fan. And then finally, it sounds really weird, but a couple years ago, I finally got a Mac. And they have QuickTime built in. Well, QuickTime makes it easy to get video if you're watching a stream of something. So I've pivoted to that. And, you know, writing came naturally to me. It was one of the few ways to express my thoughts. I'm a very outspoken person. Like, if anyone ever meets me in person, I was always told I never knew when to shut up. So that's kind of crosses over onto Twitter and into writing. But yeah, that's how I got started. I just decided one day, I like sports so much, why not just write about them?
And you say you've been a Clipper fan for a while. How long? Because I was talking in the intro about how I actually grew up a Laker fan until about the early 2000s. and then pivoted over once you had the Darius Miles, Quentin Richardson, Corey Maggette, Elton Brand era. When were you a Clippers fan?
So I've been a Clipper fan basically as long as I can remember. A lot of people don't know this. I'm 34. Mm-hmm. I remember basically like Loy Vaught, some Mark Jackson stuff, a little Danny Manning when I was younger. But obviously, like, I remember vividly when the team traded for Elton Brand on draft night after he'd been in the league for 2 years with Chicago. They picked Tyson Chandler number two and just swapped him straight up for Elton Brand. And I've pretty much been diehard as long as I can remember and, you know, follow the team. When they went to the conference semis against Phoenix in 06, I had a DVD recorder. A lot of people don't even probably not know what that is. You used to be able to hook it up to your television with blank DVDs and you could record like you would record on like a VHS. And so I would record all the playoff games for the Clippers that year. And I still have them somewhere. It's probably in my shed. But so I've followed for a very long time, been a fan for a very long time. And they're the first team I ever went to go see in person. And yes, tickets were cheap and that was part of the allure. And I think that's okay. If that's why people became Clipper fans, because it's the cheapest ticket in town, by all means, I'm not going to hate on people for going to things that they can afford. I've just been following ever since. And I wrote at Clips Nation for a long time. Then I've pivoted to covering a little bit of Dodger stuff for a while. And then I came back to just primarily mostly about the Clippers.
And you have a Patreon now. Where can people sign up for that?
So it's going to be patreon.com/flybynight. It's the same as it is on Twitter, FLYBYKNITE. For $3 a month, you get everything. That's basically you get the five takeaways after every game. You get a post game pod after every game. You get a new podcast every Friday. You get other stuff. Like I'm trying to think. Oh, the breakdown videos on there from games. So yeah, everything's there.
There you go. So if people want to get all that Clippers content, not just the stuff that you see on Twitter, but all the stuff behind the scenes as well. You can go and sign up for Justin's Patreon. Want to get your thoughts on Kobe because you grew up in Los Angeles. I'm taking it based on you being a Clippers fan and going to Clippers games. It for me, I mentioned in the intro, it hits home because it seems like Kobe was LA. It's not just LA basketball, but he was someone that we all watched growing up. And I remember wanting the Clippers to trade for him very badly when he demanded to be traded from the Lakers and never happened. And he used to kill every single team. And he really used to just destroy every team on the basketball court. Your thoughts on Kobe?
So a lot of people don't know this. Kobe was one of the first jerseys I had. I have a number 8 jersey. It's somewhere in the house. I didn't get rid of my jerseys. We had the house done a couple years ago and everything's still in boxes because I'm a lazy person. He's one of the jerseys I have. And look, I think to put it simply, Kobe was a complicated guy. Like everyone is flawed. Everyone has their things. But I think at the end of the day, I think the thing that hits me the most is like, this is a guy who was a father to 4 kids and one of the kids perished with him. And it's beyond the scope of what words can summarize it to be. Like it's horrifying. I think about his wife and having to deal with that. And in the blink of an eye, it's gone. And all the other families that got affected, you know, if there was a family who the mother, the father, and one of the children went down, there's 2 other kids. And it's like, you know, like you never think that when you leave the house, that could be it. And sometimes it is. But with Kobe, I think what the lasting image of him will be is just his competitiveness. And I think that's all you can really say about someone is that they competed every night. And that's basically like how I will remember him is he was a guy who competed every single night. He was a hell of a player and just a nightmare to face. I still remember when the Clippers almost signed him in free agency. Mm-hmm. That was a wild time, but look, 41 is young. You know, like I said, I'm 34 and I'm 7 years away from that. It's horrifying to think that like, you know, this can happen to anyone.
Yeah.
Like nothing. Tomorrow's not promised to anybody.
Yeah. I mentioned they would trade for him. Actually, yeah, you're right. He was a free agent at the time. and possibly going to go to the Clippers. It's not only what he did on the court and all the memories that people have of him on the court, but now it's just his ability to, like you said, he had his flaws, and a couple of them he really seemed to grow past, whether it was the Denver thing and now what he's done for women's basketball and how he's there all the time to help progress the female name in the sport. And then obviously the comment that he made, homophobic slur, and now what he did with that organization since. He learned from his mistakes and now is a guy that is retired from the NBA, and he was focused on being there for his daughters. And they asked him why he wasn't at all these Laker games, and he said, I wasn't there all the time growing up with those girls. So now I get a chance to be there. It's a time where if I'm at a Laker game, I'm not there to help give my three-year-old a bath or something like that. And it's devastating. It's tough for anybody, obviously, to lose a family member, to see a 13-year-old girl die as well, and all the other seven that died. It's a terrible thing. Curious to get your thoughts on what you think should happen tomorrow, how they should honor him, if you have any idea what you think should happen, because it's going to be a really weird situation to have those two teams play under these circumstances. The game will go on. I saw Chris Haynes, I think it was, that tweeted something about the game should be canceled. It's not going to be canceled. There's too much money that people spend on tickets and people that want to be there to honor Kobe. What do you think they should do tomorrow?
It's tough. I mean, look, that's going to be probably the most emotional game that's ever been played from a sheer like shock and, you know, aura standpoint. The only thing that to me could even come close to that is game five of the Clippers Warrior series after the Donald Sterling sentence got levied by Adam Silver. Mm-hmm. I was there for that game. I was in Staples Center for it. It's still one of the most eerie sporting events I've ever been to, because if you've ever been to Staples Center, there are sponsors all over. Like, there's sponsor signs everywhere, all over the terrace levels, everything. Well, for that game, everything was blacked out because of everything that was going on. And there was no, like, in-arena, like, real in-arena entertainment. It felt almost like a funeral. Like, you were at a wake, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was very eerie. And tomorrow's going to be that times a number that I can't even come to. Like, as for what they should do, I think you're going to see the 8 and 24 second violations. I think you're going to see... It'll be interesting, because I think what you might see is players come out in, like, his jerseys, mm-hmm. like in the warm-up lines and stuff, and at the when they stand for the national anthem.
Do you think they wear his number tomorrow during the game?
You mean like everyone has the same number?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so, because I think it's... I almost said it's weird, and it sounds odd to say, but it's weird from a scorekeeping standpoint.
Yeah.
Which is why I could see them not doing that.
Yeah.
But it's going to be fascinating to see what happens. I think they all wear his jerseys in the warm-up line. I think obviously they're going to honor him pre-game, post-game, during the game. It's going to be a very eerie setting, and I hope to God no one has insane hot takes after tomorrow's game, because that'll actually be annoying. Like, I do not care about a win or a loss tomorrow.
Yeah, that was something that I had on my list of things to discuss with you, where it does seem like tomorrow doesn't matter. I mean, the game, the Clippers won the first two games, and when I had Tomer on last week, he was talking about how he thought that this would probably be a loss, this game against the Lakers. And now it doesn't matter. It really feels like it doesn't matter at all, because it's a game that is going to be played just because it's on the schedule. The Lakers team now is going to be, you better bet, they're going to be dedicating their season to Kobe and everything that he's meant to that franchise. But tomorrow really means nothing. And it's strange that a Lakers-Clippers game doesn't mean anything at all on the court, but it also means everything at the same time. It's an odd feeling.
Yeah, because, like, just from, like, when you actually look at it from the outside looking in, like, standings-wise, this game is very important. Like, if the Clippers win, they're within three of the loss column and they've won the season series outright and all this other stuff. But like, it doesn't matter. Like if they lose, I'm not gonna, it's just doesn't matter. It's not anything to where you're going to be able to draw any conclusions from. I didn't read too much into yesterday's game, even with the win. Like, it was nice that they won, but I don't think it really mattered. Like, if they would have lost to Orlando, does anybody really care?
No. No. And you could tell even in your threads. I mean, your tweet threads normally are more detailed, and you give a lot more analysis, but it seemed like yesterday was more of just score updates. And not much more than that, which is, I think you set the tone well with those, honestly, because and tomorrow, it's going to be difficult. Like you said, I don't think yesterday's game would have mattered. And I think the way they handled the situation yesterday, by the way, on Prime Ticket, I thought Noah did a really good job with the intro. And I thought Brian did a really good job with the play-by-play and discussing. I thought Fratello was added a nice touch as well. Yeah, I don't even know how TNT handles tomorrow, because that's going to be probably their toughest broadcast that they've ever had, because it's going to be, how do we perfectly remember Kobe and how do we show everything possible? Because there was a game beforehand, but I imagine they're going to be there for the pregame ceremonies. It's going to be tough for everybody involved, not only the teams on the floor, but even TNT and the background behind the scenes.
Yeah, and you know, it sounds odd, but TNT's been through this with Craig Sager.
Mm-hmm.
So they understand the fragility of everything and how to handle it. So I fully anticipate TNT being able to handle it well. Other than Shaq's probably going to be a wreck if he's there. Barkley, Chuck will probably, I mean, look, people are going to be emotional tomorrow. People were emotional yesterday. People are going to be emotional today. You know, everyone grieves. Like, everyone grieves in different ways. I know I've grieved in different ways over the years to certain incidents. Mm-hmm. No two people grieve alike. And I think people need to respect other people's ability to grieve in situations like this. Like, not everyone's the same. So if you see someone on TNT get choked up after a play, that's because they're grieving in a different way than someone else. Like, I think Kevin Harlan's doing the game tomorrow, and so I'm assuming Reggie Miller will be with him.
Mm-hmm.
And Reggie's going to be a wreck. Kevin's probably going to try to keep it together, but you know, it's going to be. And I was going to call it a spectacle, but that makes it sound, I guess, grander than it really is. It's a somber moment, but it is. It's going to be a spectacle. Like, it's, everyone's going to watch. It might end up being the highest rated game of the year.
Oh, I would be surprised if it wasn't. I think that it would make a lot of sense. I mean, you say spectacle. It's going to be, you're right, it'll be must-see TV. What would be a way for that to be phrased. And Reggie Miller was on DP earlier today, Dan Patrick show, and he was someone that obviously knew Kobe well, and he was pretty good on the show describing his memories of Kobe. And then hearing Tracy McGrady today talk about his sons and being there in the AAU circuit with his kids and Kobe's kid, Kobe's daughter, and just how close he was to Kobe's family. It was tough to see him just break down. Everybody's got their memories. I mean, Jerry West was on the Jump today as well, and he was recalling the trade and everything about Kobe, and how he said that losing his brother, I believe it was, in a war, I believe, equated to the same exact thing, the same exact feeling he felt when Kobe died yesterday. So it's tough. But yeah, go ahead.
You know, I wonder, because I was actually talking about it with my mother today. She was alive for this incident. Her and I were talking about it, and it's almost Roberto Clemente. Mm-hmm. In terms of like the shock of someone an icon passing away suddenly. Like, Roberto Clemente was still playing when he passed away in a plane crash, but it's kind of similar. And you start thinking of all the celebrity deaths, like, or you know, sports deaths or celebrity deaths mixed together, like Roy Halladay several years ago, you know, like that was shocking.
Jose Fernandez was another one
Jose Fernandez hit really hard. I think Jose hit hard just because he was so young, like so much younger than a lot of other people.
Yeah.
But I also wonder, like, I was obviously I wasn't alive for this, but it reminded me of, like, there was a movie about it. I can't remember the name of the movie, but it was it had to do with the airplane crash that took the lives of the Big Bopper and Freddie Valiants and all those, or excuse me, Richie Valiants and all those guys, mm-hmm. like the singers and stuff, and like how shocking of a world event that was. And it's like, you know, stuff like this happens, and I understand, like, it's rare that it happens, obviously. But it's no less easier when it does happen. Like, everyone's still flabbergasted that this even happened, and it's going to take a long time for the shock to wear off.
Yeah, my mom equated it to hearing that HIV announcement from Magic Johnson. It seems like several have compared these two incidents in terms of the shock factor and the surprise factor. And it's such a weird day and age we live in now, with TMZ Sports being the one to release it, and just the info that's coming out every second, and we're not sure what to believe and who to believe on Twitter. It's awful. But we now have to play a season, and you have to continue this season. And for the Clippers, their next opponent just happens to be the Lakers. And I want to go back a little bit, because it's tough to even break down a game tomorrow in which there's going to be so many other factors weighing on both teams that I really, like you and I have said, I don't think tomorrow matters. So it's tough to even break down tomorrow and discuss what we think will happen tomorrow, because we don't know what will happen. I want to look back with you quickly at that game against Miami. And the Clippers once again rise to the occasion against a team that is one of the top in the NBA. We've seen it time and time again this year that they'll stoop down to their opponent. You and I equally as frustrated. I think you may even have been more frustrated after that game against Atlanta and the way they lost that game. Because it was an absolute train wreck in terms of the minutes that Zoo got, the number of straight minutes that Trez got at the end of that game, and then to rebound the way they did against Miami, it seems like we really don't know what to expect with this team right now. And frankly, there's no reason even to break it down game by game, because A, they're not healthy, and B, it really seems like they do rise to the occasion against better teams.
Yeah, so it's funny because Tomer and I, when we did our podcast previewing this road trip, excuse me, we went game by game and tried to predict, oh, what's a win, what's a loss. Mm-hmm. Well, he and I both predicted wins in New Orleans and Dallas, but a loss in Atlanta. Like, we both had the same thing. We're like, okay, they'll be 2-1 after three games. They'll lose it in Atlanta. So, like, theoretically, the Atlanta loss shouldn't have irritated me, because I kind of expected it to happen. But as you said, the way they lost was so frustrating. Like, up 21 in the first half, up 19 at the half. You know, I think they were up 16 with, like, midway through the third or something. Like that's a loss. Like, they were up 10 with 6.5 to go, I think. That's a loss that can't happen against anyone, no matter who's out. I mean, Trae Young didn't play for Atlanta that night. And I understand the Clippers were without three of their best players, but, you know, they should have closed it out. But at the end of the day, 5 games into this road trip, they're 4-1, and they have wins in New Orleans and Dallas and Miami, and those are good wins. But the game in Miami was actually interesting from the standpoint of, even when they got behind 24-9, I was okay, because I could tell they were playing hard. And as long as you play hard, you give yourself a chance. Like, last year's Clippers, and I don't want to bring up last season because last season's last season. However, last season's Clippers played hard all the time. Mm-hmm. And because they played hard all the time, they were in basically every game and had crazy comebacks and all this stuff. But this year's Clippers have kind of waxed and waned in terms of effort at times. But, you know, ever since that Memphis game, they've been fine in terms of effort. Like, they've had, like, the game against the Knicks, they played hard. It was just they didn't care about defense. And the game against the Warriors, they were kind of like lackadaisical at times, but then they turned it on the fourth. Every other game, they've played hard. And I think that should be commended at how they've turned the corner in terms of playing hard. And that was evident no better than in Miami when they went up. You know, they turned a 15-point deficit in the first quarter into, I believe, a near 20-point lead at one point in the fourth. Before Miami made it interesting at the end, thanks to apparently the greatness of Dion Waiters. But, you know, look, they got the win. And I always say road wins are tough. Road wins are the toughest thing to get in the NBA. And at the end of the day, a win is a win. And I think the best thing to take from that game was how good Landry Shamet looked. That was the biggest takeaway for me, other than Kawhi Leonard's pick and roll passing, which I profiled with a video because Miami just trapped him, and you could just see how much more advanced he's gotten as a passer. He had 10 assists and only 2 turnovers that game. So that tells you the level he's risen to now as a passer. So there's been some good things on this road trip, even without Paul George and even with Patrick Beverley missing time. And I think we have to look at it that, hey, when Kawhi Leonard plays, the Clippers are one of the 3 best teams in the NBA. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters, because if he's not playing in the postseason, they don't have a chance anyways.
Yeah, which is why the back-to-backs, we really should not be concerned when he sits out, because we see the impact he makes on the floor. And I brought this up on the podcast before, but it's comical that people, back when Kawhi was sitting and PG was playing and PG was going off, people were saying maybe PG is more important to the Clippers than Kawhi. Not the case. It's just not the case at all. It's completely false. What Kawhi has done to his game and how he has improved as a player, which is incredible considering how good he was last year, but now with the passing that he has added and just the vision that he has to find Zoo through passing lanes, it's incredible. And the game against Miami, I was ready to talk to you and yesterday and joke around with the, I believe, what was it, the strip club that he was at and the New Balance era that he was wearing. I mean, we were all ready to joke about that and how this guy, Miami's a tough road trip, not only because Miami is a good team, but being in Miami, it's the same reason why teams come to LA, and when they play the Lakers and the Clippers, the second game, they're most likely going to lose, no matter what, because you have LA where you're spending a night or two in LA and you're doing something foolish and you're not focused. And the Clippers were able to go to Miami, be there apparently the night before, and then do to Miami what they did to Miami. Just shows how impressive this team is.
Yeah, so the Florida trips are always like sketchy because, like, I should say the Southeastern trips are always sketchy. Because, you know, guys, like, to them, that's vacation, like, this time of year. Like, it's the end of January. Places are cold a lot of the time, but, you know, you're down in Florida and things are nice. And, you know, after the loss to Atlanta, which Kawhi didn't play, they go into Magic City, which is in Atlanta, and he's in the strip club having a great time. And then 2 days later, he's in Miami dropping his first career triple-double. And if you're the Miami Heat, you got to be a little bit annoyed that this guy didn't even take you seriously and still did what he did. But look, that's the level that Kawhi Leonard's at right now. Like, his last 8 games have been insane. You know, he's gotten to a level lately that it reminds me of stretches that Chris Paul would have where the game was so easy for him that it was almost comical to a large degree. Like, how much he was able to control with his defense, with his passing, with his probing, like, every little thing. And that's kind of where Kawhi's at right now, but it's on such a grander scale because he's this two-way wing guy who controls so much more of the game just by his ability to crash the glass, help on defense, dig down, tag rollers and retreat and recover. Like, he's such a unique player, and the only guy I think that can compare to him, at least this season, in terms of like that kind of impact on both sides of the floor and just eviscerating people, is probably Giannis. And I'm going to catch heat for this. I still think Giannis is the best player in the world. I don't think that there's a player better than him. He's doing stuff this season that I didn't think was possible. And Kawhi has elevated his game to where now I look at it more like, all right, there's 3 guys this season who are just at a level that I'm not sure others can get to, and it's Giannis, Kawhi, and LeBron. LeBron's kind of tailed off a little bit lately, but, you know, he's still LeBron. You got to respect what he can do when the lights are the brightest. So, look, if you have Kawhi, like, I don't know if you ever saw the movie 3,000 Miles to Graceland?
No.
It's with Kevin Costner and I want to say Kurt Russell. One of the lines in there is, he who has the gun makes the rules. He who has Kawhi makes the rules right now in the NBA, apparently, because he's doing things and just running through teams. Like, the 3-point win in New Orleans, he drops 39, and New Orleans didn't even play bad defense against him. They were on him. He was just killing them. Dallas, he killed them for 36, gets a night off in Atlanta, goes to a strip club, then comes back to drop 33, 10, and 10. Then he goes into Orlando, starts 1-5, then goes 10 of 15 the rest of the way and drops 31, 14, and 7. This guy's insane. Like, it's really insane the level that he's gotten to. And I don't know who can come close to him on both ends of the floor. And if this is what Kawhi Leonard looks like when he's healthy, good Lord, I hope he stays healthy and doesn't play a back-to-back for the rest of the season.
Yeah, he's an unbelievable player. And this podcast, by the way, is basically, it's going to sound very strange to people that are listening, because the game tomorrow has been postponed, which was completely unexpected. I thought they
They just now postponed
they
it?
The NBA just announced that they're postponing it. So it's crazy. The NBA released and they said that the National Basketball Association game between the Los Angeles Lakers and LA Clippers scheduled for Tuesday at Staples Center has been postponed. The decision was made out of respect for the Lakers organization, which is deeply grieving the tragic loss of Lakers legend Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, and seven other people in a helicopter crash on Sunday. The game will be rescheduled at a later date. And another thing came through that apparently Sham said that there are sources that saying these guys are not able. The Lakers players, coaches, and officials, and entire organization have been deeply grieving the loss of Kobe Bryant. These guys are not ready to play basketball right now, one source close to Lakers and Clippers players said today. So, so much for what we were discussing earlier. I'm surprised. I'm assuming you are as well, because I thought with everything going on, with people that were working the game, with people that were trying to attend the game, the fans that wanted to pay their respects and be there for them, be there for the Bryant family and be there for Kobe. Now that game's not happening tomorrow. Strange for sure, right?
Yeah. And I wonder when they make it up, because you got to find a part of the schedule where everything aligns. I mean, there's a little sequence in the early parts of April where April 9th, the Lakers are home against the Warriors, and then they're off on the 10th and 11th. But the Clippers are home on the 11th against the Warriors, so theoretically, you could do it April 10th. That might be the optimal date. I mean, it's far too early to know. Look, I completely understand the postponing of the game. If people didn't want to go through, I think yesterday put the NBA in a tough spot only because it was a weekend and the first game was like a half hour from tip off when all of this broke. And that's way too close to like postponing an actual game once fans are in the door, you know?
Yeah. And this one's a lot easier to postpone because it's two teams that share the same arena. And hopefully it doesn't mean, I'm assuming they're going to try and find it where it doesn't add a back-to-back to one of these teams' schedules.
Yeah, that's the tough part, because you're going to have to find a day that they're both off.
Yeah.
But where there's an off day, like, it's tough because, you know, the Clippers' next big, I guess, break outside of the All-Star break, maybe that's what they're going to choose to do. You know what? Maybe that's what they'll do, is they'll just have them play the game like 2 days after the All-Star break or something, just to get them, just to get it in, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, they'll have to find a date that, cause you know, the Lakers won't want a back-to-back and neither will the Clippers, cause they've got these stars that they prefer not to have on the back-to-backs. And I understand it from the player's point of view, not wanting to play. I thought with all the other factors that I thought the players might want to play for him, but it's tough. Like you said earlier, it's really tough to gauge how everyone's feeling and how they're grieving. With this game though, it's with it being postponed, yesterday you couldn't do that for many reasons. One of which is that for example, the Clippers were in Orlando. That's why I said that these two teams are in the same arena. You would have had to have the Clippers fly back to Orlando at some point during the season, which would have just been really tough to figure out. So that's why you had to kind of play these games yesterday. And that's why they're playing all these games today, too. I mean, they're not canceling the other games. They're just canceling the Lakers-Clippers games tomorrow, which does make sense.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the schedule. I think February 19th might make the most sense, because the Lakers come out of the All-Star break on the 21st to play Memphis, and the Clippers don't come out until the 22nd, but both of those are home games for them, so they'll both be in L.A. at the time. Now, that is a Wednesday, and it's hard to know if the NBA even wants to schedule a game while these guys are supposed to have this really elongated break, but there might not be another time to make that game happen. Unless, well, let's see, the Lakers are off the 29th and the 30th, and the Clippers are just off the 29th. So, I mean, look, maybe they want to make it a back-to-back and they want to postpone it by a day. It's hard to say. Personally, I like the February 19th option, maybe just because I just looked at it just now, but I think it makes the most sense. Like, there's a break in the schedule, and you're allowing these two teams, like, yes, it does put a spotlight on them. They'll be the only game being played that night. But at the same time, maybe that's kind of what's needed to like really highlight everything around it.
Yeah, it's, man, that's shocking. I read that and I was really caught aback, and that's wild. So no game tomorrow. I think good for the Clippers in terms of what they've done so far on this road trip, beating Miami the way they did, beating Orlando despite all the circumstances yesterday. On a basketball side, it helps Paul George a little bit not playing tomorrow. Now he gets more time to rest before I think they play Thursday. Are you worried a little bit about the injuries, by the way, for the Clippers? I mean, you've got Beverly hurt, George now hurt. It seems like this team can't stay healthy. You posted something earlier that I think is Trez, Lou, Kawhi, and PG have played a grand total of 2 minutes together this month.
Yeah, so that lineup, I've dubbed them the Fearsome Foursome. I think they've played 100 minutes all season. So obviously that's 98 minutes prior to Paul George's last 3 weeks of being out. But that lineup has also been hampered by George being out several times because, you know, he missed, what, the first, like, 11 games of the season?
Yeah.
And, the first 11 games, and then he came back in New Orleans. Look, they haven't had time to gel together, and I think you've seen that on the court at times. But I do think there's a discernible difference when you see the Clippers with Kawhi Leonard but no Paul George as opposed to the other way around, because Kawhi's had so much more time with these guys. They understand each other's tendencies on the court better. But these injuries do worry me. The Patrick Beverley thing doesn't worry me that much, other than this is a guy who's had several lower body injuries in the last couple years. He had the microfracture surgery. He's had, I believe, a hip issue. He's had a hamstring, a quad, a calf, groin now. Like, these are, like, he's been a guy who's been banged up a little bit, but obviously he's, like, if this was the postseason, I'd sure he'd be playing.
Yeah.
But the Paul George thing worries me a lot. And the reason I say that is because initially it was a sore groin. He then sat out the Memphis game because of it, because he left midway through the Detroit game, sits out the Memphis game, which was a disaster for everyone involved, for the Clippers. He comes back the next day for the Knicks game, looks great, and then they have those 4 days off to practice, and apparently he re-injures it in practice, and it's gone from sore to strain, which means it's been upgraded to something far worse, and strain usually means a slight tear. So if this is a grade two, he's out for several weeks. And obviously we're 3 weeks into this now. He last played January 5th. It's now the 27th. So basically exactly 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I've said I don't expect him back until All-Star break. And I've used that as a conservative measure because it's a hamstring issue and those take time. And I would really hope they don't rush him back. I did find it interesting he went on the road trip with them. Like, he met them in Dallas, which I thought was interesting, which I thought, okay, maybe he's actually going to play. But then he didn't play. And now he's getting an extra day off. So maybe he'll be ready to go for Sacramento on Thursday. Who knows, though? I mean, look, this upcoming stretch of games for the Clippers is pretty light. Like, the Lakers was a big game, but now that's been postponed. So you're looking at Sacramento, Minnesota, San Antonio. Those are three games they should win. Then they play Miami. Maybe they win that one or two. I think they're better than Miami, but we'll see. I mean, no one game is like another, you know? So just because you won in Miami doesn't mean you can beat them here. But then, you know, they get Minnesota and Cleveland before playing Philadelphia and Boston. Like, these are things that maybe we'll see him come back. He might come back for that Cleveland game. It's the second night of a back-to-back. It's an easier opponent. Maybe he'll be good to go for that, but we'll see. I mean, I do think there should be some concern, though. Like, this is a guy who now has had two hamstring issues in the same year, very close together, and he's been out for at least 3 weeks so far, and there's no sign that this is something that's improving. They need to be very cautious with him, because if they don't have him, it's very difficult to make a super deep postseason run.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't think they're going to bring him back until he's 100% healthy. And when you said the All-Star break, that kind of caught me by surprise. Because I was hoping he would return sooner. But at the same time, at this point, if you get a top four seed, that's really all that matters. I don't even think it really matters for them to have even a five or a six seed. I mean, you would like to play a team that's worse than you, which is why you would like a top four seed. But at the same time, you're most likely going to play a team that's worse than you, even if you're below them. If you're a six or a seven, you're still probably better than them. It's just a matter of not having those guys healthy. And so as long as Kawhi is healthy, And it seems like he is getting way healthier with his ability to take it to the rack, and he's getting these lanes of the hoop, and he's going after it whenever he sees it and dunking, which is very different than what we saw Kawhi earlier in the season do. And if you can keep PG healthy and do whatever you need to make sure that he does stay healthy when he comes back, I think that's really all that matters. Before we say goodbye, it seems like John Hollinger says April 10th is the most ideal date for these two teams, where it doesn't cause a conflict at the Staples Center with the Kings, and where there's not a back-to-back-to-back or something for one of the teams. So we'll obviously see what happens. I'm sure that it'll come out.
I completely forgot about the Los Angeles Kings.
Yeah, so did I, actually. So
Are they home? Are they home in February?
I'm not entirely sure.
No, no. See, February 19th is an open date.
Yeah, it's possible during the All-Star break. I don't know if they would want to do that, though. We'll have to see what the team's saying, what they agree to. But either way, Justin, appreciate you joining us. Appreciate you delaying this from yesterday to today. Just didn't feel like it was right to record yesterday and wanted to see more stuff come out before we actually recorded. But appreciate you taking the time. And one last time, where can everybody find you on social media, and where can they find your Patreon?
So on Twitter, you can find me at flybynight, FlyByKnite. You can find me on Patreon at patreon.com/flybynight.
Thanks, Justin. We appreciate you joining us on the Hoopball Clippers podcast.
Thank you very much.
Big thank you to Justin for joining us. I mean, that was very tough to do. I mean, it's one of those things with Kobe where he's a legend in Los Angeles, and he always will be. And I apologize for how that podcast kind of went through things. I mean, we only had an hour to record, and I recorded the intro, then we had Justin, and then right in the middle of Justin's conversation, we found out the game's going to be postponed. So tough to see a game get postponed, but frankly, the right call. The Lakers have been grieving. There are videos that circulated yesterday of Quinn Cook at Staples Center and pictures of Quinn Cook yesterday and how devastated he was, because these guys looked up to Kobe. They really looked up to Kobe. And it's tough to see a legend like that just go so early at the age of 41. So RIP Kobe, RIP Gigi, and RIP to the seven others that had their lives tragically lost. We'll be back. My guess is at the weekend, because I'll be gone over the next several days. So we probably won't have a podcast until the weekend. Frankly, there's no game until Thursday, so doesn't seem right to do a podcast until the weekend. Big thank you to Justin for joining us. I'm Brandon Marcus saying so long. This has been another presentation of the Hoopball Clippers podcast.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.